Praise the Lord. Wow. I'm excited for this message. I am really because we're starting a new series about the songs of Christmas. How many like songs of Christmas? Yeah. Right? And think about this preaching around. It's like a musical. Just imagine yourself, me not singing, but me preaching, okay, and somebody else singing. And I'm going to be accompanied by my beautiful wife and my brother-in-law, because there's two of them there, and our friend Julian De La Cruz. Thank you, Julian. Thank you so much, Julian. That's good. That's good. So let me start with this, okay? Music and songs are powerful tools that has been used, whether for good or bad, to inspire, teach, indoctrinate, and even influence a culture of a given society or a nation that any speech or preaching can do. How many agree? Music and songs touch our hearts and emotions. We are moved by the tempo or beat. I'm a drummer, that's why I like beat and tempo. We are entertained by the tune, although I cannot carry a tune, but we are entertained by a tune. And inspired by the words that is carried by melody, causing the effectively remember the message behind the song. How many of you agree with that? That sometimes for us to memorize things, it's much better if you sing it or you do it with a song. That's right. All of us have soundtracks for our lives in a given season. Right? We have a soundtrack. Like, for instance, when experiencing a breakup with a special significant other, you might sing song like, wow. And then after 2 hours of missing each other, and you get back together again, and both of you are singing the song. Oh, okay, but anyways, that's... Or maybe before playing competitive chess, you may play the song like... All right, Frank, right? Yeah. All right. Let me agree, right? We have a soundtrack for our lives. And sometimes we play songs in our car before going to church just to get ready and to put our praise on. And we pray song, and we pray, and we play songs like this. Close off. Okay, that's it for our message. We can close in prayer on this joke. A typical concert piano has over 240 strings that, when tuned and tightened, create a pull of 40,000 pounds on the frame. Without the tension, there would be no beautiful music being played by the piano. When experiencing the tensions and stresses in our own lives, and we respond by holding on tightly to God, just like those 240 strings that are tightly anchored on the strong frame of a grand concert piano, you'll find yourself making beautiful and inspiring life melodies to the tune of God's grace, learning to entrust life's tensions, stresses, and uncertainty to the very trustworthy frame of God's strength. How many say amen to that? Choosing to trust God through these uncomfortable moments, we find ourselves responding and saying what Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20. I don't know if you know that story about Joseph the dreamer. Remember him? And at the end of, you know, towards the end of that narrative, when he was facing his brothers who betrayed him, hurt him, mistreated him, disowned him, and sold him as a slave, and now God has delivered him from his trouble and put him in a high position, instead of taking vengeance against his brother, he responded by saying, check this out, Genesis 20, 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Just like Joseph, now your life song becomes someone else's song. Now your victory becomes someone else's victory because you choose to surrender to God, life's tensions, stresses, and uncertainties. In the same way, the Magnificat, which is the topic for today, or Mary's song, was born out of stress and tension. The verses prior to our main text for today was about Mary receiving the message from God through the angel Gabriel, saying that she was with child, but yet she was a virgin. In verse 29 to 30, the Bible says, and check this out, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." We can read in this verse that Mary's initial response to the message that God gave her was that of a troubled heart and fear. You have to understand this, okay? That Mary was already pledged or betrothed to Joseph. And if Joseph finds out that she was prego or preggy, Joseph could have handed it over to the authorities during that time to be punished and even be put to death, because that was the law during that time. Imagine the thoughts and the questions going through her mind, the tension that she was feeling. What would Joseph say, or what will he do, or what would my parents say, or what would they think of me? What would the parents think of me, or what would my neighbors think of me, knowing that I've been pregnant, but yet I'm a virgin? Her response in verse 38, which is so awe-inspiring for me, when I hear her say this, she said something like this, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Amazing. In spite of the tension that she was going through and the things that she was going to face, she entrusted her demise to the very capable hands of God. Let's continue the rest of the narrative, and you can open your Bibles to Luke 1, verse 39 to 56, and let me read it for you. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, and this is a song, the Magnificat, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts, has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has set the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. May you continue to speak to our hearts. May you give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what your Spirit will say. And Father, we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, may you give us a song. After this message, may you give us a song that we can hold on to, a song that we can sing forever, that will just really, really, really develop this faith in us. No matter what we go through in life, we will never, never give up because you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Most scholars believe that the Magnificat, or the Song of Mary, was taken from Hannah's song in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament because of its similarities. Do you remember who Hannah was, in the Old Testament? Both Hannah and Mary responded with a song when they were reminded of God's goodness, power, and strength in the midst of a stressful situation they were in. I've broken down the Song of Mary into three themes. The first one is that the Song of Mary is a song of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, a song of praise. If you read again in verse 46 to verse 50, let me read it for you. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." We can read in these verses that Mary praised God for his salvation, for his compassion, and for his provisions. Out of the gratefulness of her heart came forth praise. The first one is this: Mary praised God for his salvation. In verse 47, one can see that Mary declared in her song, that God was her Savior. Did you see that? It was there, right? We don't really know if Mary fully understood that the baby that she was going to deliver will eventually deliver her and all humanity from the bondage of sin and death. How many say amen to that? Imagine if you were in the situation of Mary. You were given a message. And that message was hard to believe, but because it was a miraculous situation where the angel Gabriel pronounced to her the coming Messiah was inside of her, that even though she was a virgin, she was bearing a child. This would have caused someone to really question things, right? But in her situation, because she knew that what she was bearing inside of was so special, and she knew that it's only through my God and my Savior that I can do this, she chose to focus on that one particular thing. She thanked God, "You are my God and my Savior." Secondly, she praised God for his compassion. We can see this in verse 48, where Mary acknowledged that in spite of her humble and lowly state before God and before man, God chose her as the vessel to bring forth the Savior of the world. Now, this particular verse of Scripture is very encouraging to you and I. God could have chosen someone in society that was prominent, that was well-known, that was in the palace, but he chose a poor girl. A poor girl. Insignificant in the eyes of men in society, but in the eyes of God, a special person. Maybe you are here today and you think that you are not that special because of the things that you've done in the past and the things that you've, you know, allowed in your life. I have good news for you. If God has used Mary, he can use you. That we, in the hands of God, can really experience the power and the grace and the mercy. That even though we are kind of like insignificant in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God, he can use us for the glory of his name. How many say amen to that? Amen. And thirdly, she praised God for his provisions. We can read this in verse 49 to 50, that Mary acknowledged the great things that the Lord has done for her. God rescued her from man's judgment and shame by giving Joseph a dream, confirming to him that what had happened to Mary was according to God's plan. Which Joseph responded by relenting in divorcing her and fulfilled his pledge to be her husband. Thank God for Joseph. This is just one of many instances that God provided for Mary, what she needed to fulfill God's call for her life. Whether we like it or not, all of us will go through tensions and stresses and uncertainties in life. I may say amen to that. In our relationships, health, career, and in every area of life. That's why when we go through these season, that is very important that for us to trust God, especially when we're going through stresses, tensions, and uncertainty, we need to trust God in these moments because what is unknown to us is known by God. Amen. I remember a time when God called me to full-time ministry and we were in the Philippines. I heard so clearly from God that no matter what other people would say, I knew they cannot convince me otherwise. But there was tension. I remember my mom asked me the question, "How will you feed your families?" You have to understand, I had two small kids during that time. How will you survive? And plus, the situation was that in the Philippines, we were part of a church plant. So in other words, because it was only a church plant, Pastor Alan would know this, Pastor Fred would know this, that, you know, the church cannot pay for their pastors. They can only pray for them. There was no love offering, only clap offering. So my wife and I started to ask people to partner with us in prayer and financially support us on a monthly basis. And some of you are in this place have supported us in our ministry in the Philippines. And with that, I thank you so much. I remember that. It was truly a humbling experience because you have to understand, I came from a well-to-do family. My mom is a plastic surgeon, successful one in the Philippines. Don't worry, everything is natural in my face. Nothing has been. Very successful doctor. I was well provided for. And for me to ask financial support, I was not in my comfort zone. To make the long story short, in spite of the tension, we raised a total of 70 partners, and we were able to do full-time ministry in the Philippines. I became their first youth pastor in Victory, Alabang, which started with 50 people in 1998. And now, in the present, they have a total of 13,250 attendees on a weekly basis in their worship service. 4 different locations, and having 13 weekend worship service, all for the glory of God. See, what God does through these intense, stressful, and uncertain situations, worrying if our partners will continue to give or not, and plus having 2 small kids to feed and providing for them during that time, God always reminded us of His salvation, compassion, and provisions. I can say this to you with all confidence, God has never failed us. And just like Mary, out of our gratefulness to God, my wife and I sang a song of praise from our hearts.
His praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much, Lord. I love you and my soul sings. Here in your presence, carried on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. And how my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever in your power and majesty. I lift my hands, I lift my heart, I lift my voice towards the heavens.
Praises came forth from our hearts. He has provided for us time and time again. His hand was upon us. because we were in the center of His will. The second theme from the Song of Mary is that her song is a song of deliverance. Look at your neighbor and say, a song of deliverance. We can see this in reading verse 51 to 53, and let me read it for you. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has lifted the hungry with good things. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has set the rich away empty. In these verses, Mary declares in a song that God has the power to exalt the humble and to humble the proud. In other words, let God fight for you. How many say amen to that? During that time, Mary understood that as a nation, they were under the rulership of Rome. And the common understanding of people of Israel during that time, that in the fulfillment of the prophecies declared by the prophets regarding the coming Messiah, that He would come as a political leader, a king or a ruler that will save them from the oppressive hands of the rulership of Rome. Not really understanding that Jesus the Messiah came not to bring them freedom from the oppressive rulership of Rome, but from the greatest enemy of humanity, which is the oppressive rulership of sin and its consequence and effects upon people's lives. The effects of sin are felt and experienced in relationships, attitudes, habits, and in other areas of our lives that robs us of the freedom of living the purpose-filled life that God wants us to live. Learning to surrender everything and everyone to God by humbling ourselves before Him, He will cause us to let God and let go of the things that we cannot control and give it to the One who is in control of everything. How many say amen to that? Allowing Him to fight the battles that we face in life that we can never win on our own. Whether it may be a struggling marriage, your relationship with your children or teenagers, an addiction to pornography, drugs, alcohol, ungodly relationships, and any other issue in life that is caused by sin and its effect. When we truly humble ourselves before God by allowing Him to rule over our lives, we will find ourselves being exalted by God to a place where sin and the effects of sin has no rule over our lives because we are under the rulership of Christ. How many say amen to that? That's why in the book of James, the Bible tells us, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you see the progression there? What do you need to do first? Submit to the Lord, right? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot resist the devil effectively if your lives are not submitted to the Lordship of Christ. The key here is to submit to the Lord first. Now, there was a time when my wife and I went through a very difficult time in our marriage. That was almost, you know, that almost led to separation. Having two small kids and being new in the ministry and being busy in the ministry. We did not recognize that we were drifting apart from each other. The sin of pride and selfishness entered our hearts. We would find ourselves fighting and arguing all the time, saying hurtful words to each other. Even in front of our two small kids. Actually, I have a video of you, of us fighting, not us, but an example of how it looked like when you're fighting, like this one. See, my wife was on the bed, I was on the floor. See, both of us couldn't take it anymore. We can't. That we decided to tell our kids that we would separate. I remember seeing my daughter, who was about 7 years old during that time. When she heard me say that we were going to separate, she started to cry. And when she cried, she said, looked at my wife and I, and she said, please, nobody leaves. Please, nobody leaves. And my son was younger during that time and didn't know what's happening. He just copied my sister, the sister. And my heart broke in seeing my daughter hurt. It was really a mistake on my part, my wife's part, to really even declare it. But the emotions were so high. Both of us were hurt. But seeing my daughter cry and saying those words to my wife and I, conviction rushed into our hearts. My wife and I chose to humble ourselves before God and towards each other. And instead of fighting with each other, we decided to fight for our family. For we knew that God was fighting for us. This past year, last February 26, we celebrated our 25 years of marriage. All for the glory of God. And we are more in love with each other than ever before. Right, honey? Yeah, I think you're right. Amen. Some of you guys can relate that you're on the floor, you're not on the bed, right? Okay. Just like Mary, my wife and I were reminded by God that as we humble ourselves before Him and submit to His rulership, that He will fight the battles that we face in life that we can never win on our own. So in a very dark and difficult situation in our marriage, God gave us a song. A song of humbling ourselves before Him and asking Him to come and intervene. Knowing and understanding that it's only through His unfailing love that we can overcome.
When the darkness fills my senses, when my blindness keeps me from Your touch, Jesus, come. When my burden keeps me doubting, when my memories take the place of You, Jesus, come.
God's unfailing love sustained us. He brought us to a place where we can see each other the way God sees us. The love that flowed through us is the kind of love that came from Him. Not thinking about what was done in the past, but looking at the potential of what can be or what can happen in the future. Now that's the love of God. It does not see you in accordance to your failures, but He sees you according to your potential. He loves you so much. And sometimes we can give up easily because we feel like we've made mistakes and we have done so many things that is not quote-unquote repairable, but I beg to differ. I believe that God, with his mighty power, can change situations just like that and bring you to a place of prominence as long as you humble yourself before him and allow his power to work through you. His unfailing love. His unfailing love. The third and final theme I want to share to you today from the Song of Mary is that her song is a song of hope. Look at your neighbor and say, a song of hope. In verse 54 and 55, the Bible tells us, he helped us. He helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. In these verses, we can read that Mary wanted to remind herself during that time and us today through her song, that no matter what challenges we are facing in life, we will always have hope because our God is faithful. Reminding us that if God has done it before, he can do it again. Mary mentioned in these verses that through God's mercy, he has helped Israel, the nation of Israel, just like how he helped Abraham and the descendants before them. Reminding us that if he has done it before for those people who put their faith and trust in him, he will do it again. We may change, but God never changes. We may sometimes be faithless because of the difficulties we are going through, but he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. We also have hope in God because of his promises. God is our promise keeper. How many say amen to that? Mary knew and was confident that her God was a promise keeper, keeping God. We can see this through the different accounts in the gospel of how Mary responded to Jesus. From the first recorded miracle of Jesus when he turned water into wine, Mary was there. To the very last breath of Jesus on the cross, Mary was there. When Jesus resurrected from the dead and when he ascended into the heavens, Mary was there. Mary, being one of the 120 disciples waiting for the promised Holy Spirit to come and be baptized by the Spirit, Mary was there faithfully waiting and eventually experienced right before her very eyes the fulfillment of God's promise. I may say amen to that. This attitude of trusting and waiting upon God in spite of the difficulties that she went throughout her life has given her hope that will not be taken away from her. Hope that was given, that has given her the strength and the ability not to give up no matter how difficult life may be. And hope that has given her the different perspective and view in life in regards to life's challenges and difficulties, not looking at them as setbacks, but as opportunities to experience God's power, provision, and peace. You see, that's what happens when you put your faith and trust in God, as you continue to hope in him in spite of the things that you are going through in life. I believe that your attitude towards your situations will be different. Instead of looking at the difficulties of life or the unfortunate uncertainties that we may face in life, our view of it will be different. Instead of looking at it as setbacks, you view it as opportunities. That you are positioning yourself to experience a miracle. Because our God is a God of miracles. How many say amen to that? In this journey that my wife and I are in life, marriage, parenting, ministry, and pastoring, we can confidently say to you and testify that God is faithful. And he is truly a promise keeper. Time and time again, God has met our every need, rescued us from our troubles, comforted us from our concerns, whether the future of our kids, finances, or any other area in life, and even our calling. And delivered us from situations that only he can deliver us from. But in spite of these, because us as being humans, and I know you'll agree with me, that there are times that my wife and I still doubt. You doubt, right? We worry. And we question God's faithfulness. And sometimes we even allow fear to get the best of us. Even when we are in a place of doubt, just like in Mary's situation, God used her relative Elizabeth to remind her of the greatest blessing to humanity that is inside of her, that has led her to respond in singing this song. In a similar way, when my wife and I allowed fear and doubts to cloud our thoughts, God is always faithful in reminding us of His faithfulness. Let me say amen to that. He is always faithful in surrounding us of people of faith to remind us of His faithfulness. Have you experienced this before? People come up to you, giving you a verse or a word, encouraging you, letting them know not to give up. And He's always faithful in giving us a song to remind us that if He has done it before, He will do it again. I just want you to understand one thing, that God loves you so much and He wants the best for you. Maybe life has not treated you the way you wanted to treat you. Situations that happened in your life in the past has somehow defined you to who you are today. I have good news for you that can change today. While you're still breathing, there is hope. Today is a new day. Every time that we breathe, every time that we wake up in the mornings, is always a testimony and a declaration of God's faithfulness upon our lives. He is the one who makes the world go around, not us. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed just between you and God. And if you are here today and you want God to give you a song, in the very first point that I made today, Mary praised God because Mary recognized that God was her Savior. God wants to save you. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. All of us have sinned. According to the Bible, that's what the Bible tells us. All of us have sinned against God. Nobody is perfect. I'm no greater than you. You are no greater than me. At the foot of the cross, all of us are on level ground. All of us are dependent on God's grace. And there's payment for our sin, and that is to be eternally separated from God. Those are the things that we need to understand. But we also need to understand the good news that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I just sense in my spirit today that some of you have been really, really longing for God, and God is touching your heart. I sense that you really sense that in your heart right now.
So while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God. And you, and if you know for a fact that you have not given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and when you and you want to do that this morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God, and you want to say, Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life. And if that is you, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God, I'm the only one looking. If you want to give your life to Jesus, can you just quickly raise up your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just quickly raise up your hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? For those people who lifted up your hands, just pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you today just as I am, a sinner needing a Savior. And I ask you this morning, come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. Please forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. And believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And you said in your word, ye shall be saved. Please give me a new song. A song of salvation that I can sing every day until you come. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name.